Dynasty Radio 1382.
This is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. Thank you for listening today. You're listening to a revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. This is a live call-in talk show. If you'd like to talk to me, leave a message. Have a question or make a comment, dial 646-716-7572. Press the number 1 and we will put you in queue. Today, I'm going to be talking about homeschooling, like I always talk about, but I have some things that I want to throw out there. Anybody who's out there listening that is homeschooling or that knows anything about homeschooling, I want to be talking about unschooling. So if you know anything about unschooling or if you tried unschooling your child, give us a call. I'd like to hear from you how it's going. I do a lot of reading about this stuff, and I've never really actually talked to anybody who's done that. And the people that I read about, it seem like they're very successful in it. When I homeschooled my child, I did this traditional way with the books and, sitting at the table, the whole thing, because that's all I knew. But if you know anything about unschooling, go ahead and just call in and talk to me about it. Now, also, I'm going to be talking to you about. I'm also going to be talking to you about some of the, about education and why more black families are being pushed to homeschooling in our country. And we're going to talk about one of the fourth largest school districts, how they dump the most of the year in tests. And so if you want to talk about those things, that's what I'm going to be discussing today. And also we're at the end of a school year. This is May 5th, and we only have like one more this month, the rest of this month, and that's it, June. The first week in June, most schools will be closed unless you were in the northeastern states, and they may continue on with a little bit because they had that bad weather and children were not able to go to school. You know, they have to do so many days in order for them to continue to get their ADA money. So that's what we're going to be talking today. First of all, I want to go over the educational system in the meeting. I want to keep this in the forefront of your minds of what this is all about. So I have this article, and it's called Educational System, the Meaning, Aspect, and Social Functions of Education. And this is coming from a lady named Pooja Mondal. She wrote this article. And she said, read this article to learn about educational system, its meaning, aspects, and social functions. Okay. It says, education is indispensable to individual and society, for without it, there would be loss of all accumulated knowledge of the ages and all the standard of conduct. An individual must learn the culture of the society or the accepted ways of doing things. He must be socialized into the prevailing culture and must learn the rules of conduct and expectations about the future behavior. Okay. Society, therefore, consciously devises an instructional program to fulfill personal and social needs rather than leaving the learning to change. Education provides a conscious teaching program that helps to inculcate values, forms, and social skills that will enable the individual to develop his personality and sustain the social system. Here's that word, inculcate, and I wanted to know what that word is, so I'm going to read you the definition of the word inculcate. Inculcate is a term that is used, and when I first learned about it, I'm like, oh, my God, is this what has been happening to me all my school year? But, yes, it is. Inculcate. It means to implant by repeated statement or admonition, to teach persistently and earnestly, okay, to inculcate virtue in the young, to cause or influence someone to accept an idea or feeling, okay? So that's what inculcate means. So if you look at our school system, you'll see that that's basically what is being done. It's all about society. It's all about socializing our children, getting them ready to fit into the norm, fit into the box that the society has that wants to place them in. Okay. The socialization of our education school system, it says the most important function of education is socialization. The people have no knowledge about the culture of their society. If the people have no culture, no knowledge about the culture of the society, they must learn them, and they must learn the way which their society is functioning. Hence, the children, as they grow up, must be introduced into the culture in which they are going to face. Society, therefore, provides a conscious teaching program to inculcate values, norms, and social skills that will fit the individuals for their adult role in society. Now, I've already told you before and a few other times that how our children are being streamlined into certain areas. We talked about this a few times already. If you go into a public school, and it's not so much as that they have hundreds of fourth graders, but of those hundreds of fourth graders, you have different fourth grade classrooms. And in the fourth grade classrooms, each one is set up according to that child's background, that child's knowledge, where they perceive that child is going to go or where they want to inculcate that child down the road. So as you go into one fourth grade class, it may be functioning at a higher level than maybe the third, fourth grade class. So as a parent, if your child, if your children are still in public school, you need to really look and see where your child is, what classes that they're sitting in. Just like when I was in school in New York, we had, I mean, there was a bunch of us that lived in a project, and we all were in the same grade. I look at my school picture, and there's a lot of them, these young people that I was in school with, but they were in a remedial class. Yes, we were all in seventh grade, in eighth grade, but they were all in remedial class, and guess who those guys were? Those were mostly our African-American boys that were put in remedial classes. Now, all through our school year until we got to junior high school, we were all sitting in the same classes. I remember from first grade all the way up to sixth grade, we were all in the same classes. But when we got to junior high school, I could tell you that in my junior high school class, it was a minimum of like two or three blacks in one class. I'm given three, but they really actually all I remember is myself and one of my friends sitting in the class together. And then we have some young ladies who were in other classes. Now, I do remember the mulatto girls, they were in a lower seventh grade class than I was. I don't know why you would think that they would be in a higher because they're mixed race, but for whatever reason, the school put them in a lower class. And it proved when we graduated where they were. It showed exactly where they were when we graduated and went on to high school. Okay, so basically when our children are going to school, they're being inculcated. They're being, the people are constantly putting things in their mind, the same thing over and over and over, teaching them the same thing over and over. This is what you will do. This is who you are. And the whole gamut. So if you want to talk to me about that or you have a comment about that, give me a call and we'll talk a little bit more about that. So basically, today I'm going to be talking about homeschool laws and regulations. Like I said, this is the end of a school year, and I'm asking, and I hope the parents, you guys out there, have really been thinking about the things that we've been talking about as far as homeschooling. It's not a hard thing to do, but there are some rules and regulations that we do have to follow. And our country right now is giving us a lot of options to homeschool. And parents are stepping up in different states. And I'm going to talk about one state, Florida. I'm going to talk about that in one of the biggest, largest school districts. And that's in Miami, Florida. And what they have done is they have decided to drop most of the year in tests. Now, years ago, I learned that the tests that our children are taking are not for the children to see where the children are. It's to test and see where if the teachers are teaching the children or the teachers are doing what they're supposed to be doing or the teachers are properly giving this information to the students that they are able to retain it, so they're able to retain it. That's what the tests are for. So when they test the student, they're testing the knowledge that the teacher has given them. But in return, what happens? Our children are graded on those tests, not the teachers. Let me say that again. When our children are tested in these tests, it's for to find out whether the teachers are doing their work. But in return, our students are being graded, not the teachers. So we need to look at that very carefully. And let me go into this right now. Miami School District, like so many other school districts in the country, is fed up with the standardized testing and the measurements of how good a teacher is based on the scores. Okay? They decided that it was time to take action and they were going to do something about it. So what happened? Let's look and see what happened. They got rid of the year, end of the year exams from elementary all the way through high school. You ask the question, well, how did they do that? They brought up the fact that there were many glitches in the computer systems, and we already know that. Matter of fact, I was working with a young girl last night and on her homework as I was at work, and she didn't understand the work. And I looked at it, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense according to what the book. It was a handout sheet. So we know that when our students are being handed out these sheets that they're making copies of, a packet, and then they give them a book, sometimes those packets don't even match what's in the book. So, you know, our children are becoming frustrated because they think that they don't know what they're doing. So I told the student, I said, don't even do it. Go on to the next. have your teacher explain it to you. Okay, Miami has taken the lead. Many other Florida districts are schools are going to follow what Miami has done in the state of Florida. Miami has eliminated 23 elementary exams, all 23 elementary exams, 73 of the 77 middle school exams, and a whopping 180 of the 186 exams for high school students. Now, that's big. That's big. They said they're not getting rid of the testing completely, though. They are replacing the tests that are eliminating with better tests that more accurately reflects the student knowledge and the teacher's ability. So there it is. They know that we got to test the teacher's ability and the student's knowledge. So they're going to be giving them tests, but they're going to give them something that's more accurate in testing that will reflect the student's knowledge. So we basically, they were telling us that their governor, Jeb Bush, had put the standardized testing into effect while he was in office, but it has not fared the state well at all. So basically, it's probably saying that when you look at the test scores at the end of the year or at the beginning of the next school year, and they usually post in the paper, you can see where the states are placed on their level, whether they in the top 50, what they're doing. Okay, so we're going to talk that's a little bit. So if you want to know a little bit more about that, that's something that we can also discuss. All right. Let's see what else we got going on here. I'm going to talk to you about homeschooling. There's a lot of black parents that are being pushed to homeschooling because of the racism in school. And we know that in our schools, public schools, we have a European, Eurocentric teaching. They're going to teach about some of the things that the Europeans did, and we're not going to hear a whole lot about what our African-American scholars and our African-American inventors and those. We're not going to talk about the history of our people, but we're going to learn about the history of the European-centric education. The people are opting out of these public schools. The African-Americans are opting out of these public schools because of the way our students are being punished. There's been research that has been shown that black children are punished more often and are given much harsher punishments than their white counterparts in public school. I would like to have, if anybody out there that is listening and you have any other information to substantiate that maybe a white counterpart was equally suspended from school, just like this little girl was charged with a felony after the science experiment goes bad. And we all remember back in May 2013, Kara Wilmot, she went to school and mixed some household chemicals in a tiny 8-ounce water bottle. It was a chemistry project, looked simple enough, but the top popped off when a small explosion occurred. And she made a bad choice, but they expelled her, told her that she would have to finish her high school year, her senior year, her high school year, in expulsion program, okay? And she was going to be faced with a felony because of the explosion. And the writer wrote down that what appeared to be a misguided curiosity. Now she faces expulsion and felony charges. And we have a zero policy in school. So if you know of any other people that have been expelled from school for something simple as that, it didn't hurt anybody, it was a puff of smoke. Like the top blew off and it was a puff of smoke and it didn't hurt anybody and she didn't intentionally want to hurt anybody, but she has to suffer the consequences of the school that's saying that they have zero tolerance. So that's one of the things we have to talk about. So basically, our parents are basically homeschooling their children because of this mistreatment. They know that the students are being handed out punishments for minor infractions, and then they label them as bad kids, or they'll put them, they'll keep poking at them, and then they'll say, there's something wrong with that child, and we need to have them tested, which the school psychologist is not qualified to test these students and label them and give them a diagnosis. They're not qualified to give them a diagnosis. But they will, and then if our parents are not knowledgeable, like Dr. Umar Johnson says a lot, sometimes we just as parents, we need to slow it down, pull back. Because what we'll do is we'll run to the school and say, I don't understand what's going on with my child. My child is this, and I don't know what to do. Well, the child has already been, you know, lacking in the education in school. So when you as a parent run in and say, this is happening at home, then the school seems like they want to add 1 + 1 = 2. And now they want to go ahead and send the child to the psychologist and send it before the site school report and do a lot of other stuff. And then your child is labeled, put in special ed, school gets more money, and there goes the cycle of your child. So they're minor infractions. They're very, very minor infractions. Now, we as parents, now I'm not advocating our children just doing anything that they want to do in school. I'm not advocating that at all. But we as parents, we have to teach our children that what's theirs is theirs and what is not theirs is not theirs. I remember there was a young lady that I knew, and her young boy was getting in trouble in school all the time. He was a Hispanic young boy, and he went to juvenile hall, got into some bigger trouble, went to juvenile hall, and then he wound up in the California Youth Authority, where nobody wants to be. And every time we would come, we would go into the same church, and every time we would come to church and this testimony service, you know how they do, she would always talk about how they beating her child and how her child is this, and they picking on her child and they doing this. And I'm like, you know, I was so tired of it. So I asked, I said, well, let me ask you a question. When did this all start? And she began telling me something that happened. I said, no. Let's go way back to when he was in elementary school. What was the first thing that happened when what was the first time he got in trouble in elementary school? And she told me that he took the pencil, he took an old stupid pencil off a teacher's desk, just a pencil. I was like, but you know what? It wasn't his pencil. And because you went and you backed up that little boy for taking things off the teacher's desk that did not belong to him, he felt like it was okay because mama's going to back me up. I could do whatever I want to do. And now he's where he is. So he is where he is, mama, because you backed up wrong. Now, I'm not saying that everything our children do is wrong, but when our children are wrong, we need to correct them. Parents, you need to correct them. You need to start right now correcting them, letting them know that's not acceptable behavior. When my child took rocks off a counter that was a science fiction, that was a science project, I didn't say, oh, they just rocked, so you could go get some more. No, I marched his little butt, turned him around, walked him right up to the school with those rocks in his hand and say, this is something that my child took. This is not acceptable behavior, and he wants to return these to you. He was crying and snotting and all the whole bit, but I wasn't going to have it. Did I have a problem with him about taking things from the teacher's desk again? No. Because he was embarrassed. He was really embarrassed. And that was back in the 80s when I did that. So I haven't had a problem taking things that belong to other people. He did that one more time as he got in junior high school. And at that point, because he was following by some other people because he wanted to have friends, he wanted to hang out with a group of people that, you know, he just didn't fit in, but he felt like, I'll do what they do. And they coerced him into holding somebody's Game Boy that they stole. He got busted with it. Then they coerced him to going into a store stealing Pokemon cards. You remember the Pokemon cards? And he got caught. At that point, I said, you know what? You're not able to make proper decisions, so I'm going to make decisions for you. And that's when I pulled them out. And I said, I'm going to homeschool you because I'm not going to be going through high school with you making these terrible decisions. You're a very intelligent young man, and we're going to do something about it. He cried every morning. I want to go to regular school. And I had to say, this is regular school. Get used to it. So we as parents, we have to really step up to the plate. And when it comes time to us punishing our children and looking to see if we're still in the public school, how they're punishing our children, and look and see what's going on. Are our children being punished unjustly compared to the other students that are being punished? So that's one of the reasons why parents are opting out to homeschool. Another reason why most black families are opting out to homeschool is because of the lessons. They said that it's very Eurocentric. Most of the history that kids learn about in school is about wars that have been fought and the white people that changed the landscape of our country. It is a very rare that you're going to see African-American history brought up. Very rare. Unless they go into a predominantly African-American school, they have African-American teachers, and the African-American principal wants this curriculum taught. Stereotypes. Teachers, this is another reason, stereotypes. Teachers seem to bring stereotypes to class with them. How many have heard the situation where little black boy, elementary school, little black boy, 8 years old, I think he was, looking at the teacher, and the teacher felt, the little white teacher felt threatened because she felt that he was looking at her sexually. Come on, can you give me a break on that? Give me a break. What do you mean that he's looking at you sexually? He's a little eight-year-old boy. So we're dealing with those stereotypes. So basically, let me see here. Our students debate a judge on stereotypes. I think these teachers watch a little bit too much TV. Of course, not all white teachers are like this. Not all white teachers are like this. But with 85% of the teachers being in our school being white, there's a good majority that do this. They label them as bad kids the second they walk through the door, and they feel that they will be poor students anyway, so they are reluctant to help and come off as okay, well, we don't really need to do anything. I remember I was talking to a young lady who was a new teacher. This is her first year, and she was going to be working in this school. And one of the older teachers, older white teachers in the school, this was a Hispanic young girl, she was a first-year teacher, when the older white teacher says, okay, honey, this is what I want you to do. You look at and you see your students that are able to excel, and that's when they're going to look at the cumulative folders, the behavioral folders, and all those academics, those other folders that I told you about. And they'll be able to see that, and they're going to be able to look at and see what other teachers said about the student. So this older teacher told us that, you know, you're going to look out at your students, and those that you know that are going to succeed, those are the ones that you're going to work with. Those students that don't look like they're going to succeed, you know, you don't have time. You don't have time for them. You know, so just work with those that you know that are going to succeed. What a way to begin a teaching career with some, anyway, talking to a teacher like that. So our teachers come in, and other teachers tell them things, or they read the cumulative folder, and then they're stereotyped that all little black boys are bad, all little black girls shake their head and, you know, snap their fingers and roll their eyes at their teachers, suck their teeth. And a lot of it is because of what they see in our media, how we're portrayed in media. So these three reasons that I've given you are a lot of the reasons why the parents opt out to homeschool their children. They're able to teach their children about black history, about where they came from, and they're able to let their children reach their full potential without having to deal with racism or doubt. And a lot of these parents, their curriculum is based on what their child's interests are. And I've learned that when I was running the private school that I had to have books in my library that dealt with where my students, where their interests were. And I've always had my students do book reports, and they always didn't just do book reports, written book reports. They did poster reports. They get posters. They did a diorama. Yes, I had my high school students doing diorama, and they loved it. The creativity was there, the hands-on thinking. it's a three-dimensional diorama on the book that they read, a certain scene that they got, and they was able to talk about that scene because they did it. They just didn't get up and read to me. So there was one young boy, he would hardly do his book reports, and we go to the library, he would get books, but he would not do his book reports. And then I found out that his interest was baseball, really. He did like football, but his really interest was baseball. So what did I have to do? I had to go find some books that dealt with baseball. Baseball stories, baseball heroes, and place them in our book in our library. And when I placed those books in the library, guess what he did? He started doing his book reports because now there was something that interests him. And if he was homeschooled, his whole curriculum could have been based around baseball. There's math, there's reading, there's history, there's science, there's all those things that are written that you could base a curriculum on when you're dealing with baseball. So that's what I say, that the parents are able to teach their kids and reaching their full potential without having to deal with racism or, you know, being doubtful that they're doing the right thing. Now, there's another thing that's going on here, and this is called unschooling, and I've already said that I wanted you guys to talk to me about unschooling. If you know anybody who's educated their children in the unschooling way, have them call in. This is a live call-in talk show. You listen to Dynasty Radio 1382, the revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. Dial in 646-716-7572. Press the number 1. It will put you in queue. Okay. Let's look and see what homeschooling, some of the laws and regulations, if you're deciding that you want to homeschool after some of the things that I've already talked to you about. I know you've probably been thinking about it. That's why you listen. You're just waiting for that right moment, and that's okay. Just don't let that moment be too late, okay? That's all I'm saying. Just don't let it be too late. I think that when we start younger with our children, we have greater success in homeschooling them. But remember, there's laws in your state that govern your homeschooling, and we're going to talk about the different ways that different states govern it. And it says here, it says homeschooling laws can be divided into three categories, okay? So you need to know that they could be divided into three categories. And in some states, like California, homeschooling requirements are based on, they treat us as private schools. So when I open up a homeschool in California, and I think Indiana, Texas, they also do that, you are now a private school. I named my school. I fill out the homeschool papers and send it back into the school district so they could put me on their records as having a homeschool with so many students in these grades. I had to keep up with what curriculum I'm working with, whether I created the curriculum or whether I purchased a curriculum. Other states, their homeschool requirements are based on the unique wording. This is what they say. They don't say, but basically what they're saying is the homeschool requirements are based on the unique wording of the state's compulsory attendance, okay? What are these states? New Jersey, Maryland, for example, these states' requirements for homeschooling are set by particular parameters of the compulsory attendance statute. And I'm going to read to you New Jersey's compulsory attendance. Compulsory attendance is saying that children in New Jersey, as between the ages of 6 and 16-year-olds, those are the ages that they have to be in school, between 6 and 16. So your 5-year-old doesn't have to go to school. And this is not just for homeschool. This is public school and homeschool, okay? So you could wait till your child is 6 years old before you could put them in school, and they could leave school after the age of 16. They have this in homeschool. There's none required, no days required days of instruction in homeschool. But public schools must remain open for instruction for at least 180 days each school year. Listen to this: public schools must remain open for instruction for at least 180 days each school year. But this is public and private school and homeschool, no required days of instruction. So although the public, this is what this is saying to me, if I got it wrong, you need to tell me. But what I'm hearing here is that the schools have to stay open for 180 days for instruction, be able to teach for 180 days, but The required days of instruction for a child to be there, none is required. Required subjects, New Jersey's statutes do not speak in terms of required, but required instruction. Children must receive instruction academically equivalent to public school for comparison purposes. Okay? So that's it in a nutshell. The third category for homeschooling in other states like Maine, New Hampshire, and Iowa, they don't actually use the word homeschooling. They use the word home instruction. And it has to be done by a competent, or it's called competent in private instruction. So let's see what Iowa says. Statute Iowa called competent. Okay, it says age 6 as of September 15 and less than 16. If a child turns 16 on or after September 15 while enrolled, it might include dual enrolled in a public or accredited private school. They have 148 days total, 37 per school quarter. Required subjects, there's none. This is for homeschooling. And the educational code does not call it homeschooling. They call it competent private instruction. And in Iowa, they have a handbook that is open to parents to get that handbook. So you might want to go to your State Office of Education and see if you could download or order the competent private instruction book. Parents must annually submit a competent private instruction to the school board secretary. That's a form that you must fill out. Okay? So those are the three areas of homeschooling. Okay? They're into three categories. No two states treat homeschooling exactly the same. So you might go in California and you might be homeschooling in California one way, and when you go to New York, it might be a total different way. But whether you're in California or New York, you have to follow the state laws, okay? It's imperative that you follow the state laws because you don't want them coming down on you and shutting it down and saying that you're neglecting your children or that you're not teaching them or they're truant. You want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. Some states offer public schools at home programs online, okay? So you might find a private or public school, homeschool online. And that's like the K-12 program and different programs like that where, or they call them virtual public schools or charter schools. And it's where your child would go in and they would get a packet of work and they would go home for the next 2 weeks or a week, whatever, they would work on their work and then they'll come back and turn that paperwork in and get more paperwork. So they're basically, these charter schools or virtual schools, they're basically giving you the curriculum. It doesn't cost you anything. And I know K-12, they may give you a computer. They give you everything that you need to homeschool that child or have that child in a virtual homeschool or virtual public school. But everything is done at home. Now, there are some public school at-home programs that give parents the leeway in curriculum choice. Others require the use of a specific curriculum. It's like I said, you go to school, you get a packet, you come home. But if you are a parent and you're really involved in your child and you're doing this and it's not just giving them a packet, sitting them down, saying you got to do this, but you're really into their education and instruction, you can look at that packet and you're working with your child and your child is struggling in an area. You can always go back to that school and say, you know what, my child is struggling in this, and I know we have this packet, but I feel as a parent that they need more instruction in this before we can go on to that. And a lot of times, if you're conversing with them or you're keeping in contact with the school, they would allow you to do that. I know I've had to do that when I was homeschooling other children. I would go and say, okay, this is where I feel like this young man needs more help. And they would say, okay, do whatever you need to do, just write it down. No problem. Give you, some public schools give the parents full parental control over the curriculum and program. However, what they don't want you to do, because taxpayers are paying for the cost of providing books and supplies to these public school at-home programs. They don't, this is what they said, the United States Constitution prohibits against establishing religion applies to public school at-home programs. In other words, they're not going to pay for you to have a curriculum at home that's Christian-based, okay? They don't want the taxpayers to be paying for Christian-based education. So basically, if you're going to be a public school at-home program, your program is going to be free of religious information, and it'll probably be free of any African-American or our history. That's why when it comes time for homeschooling and you're in these programs, you're going to be doing PE, you're going to be doing art, you're going to be doing any kind of home economics. Any of those subjects that they give you, you can always be mindful that you can always add. You could always add a component to your science. You could talk about Benjamin Banneker. You could talk about our scientists. You could talk about Dan Matzling when he invented the shoe lacing machine. You could talk about a lot of these different things. You could talk about, our literature, the people who wrote literature, okay? You could talk about our government officials when you're talking about social studies or government. You could talk about a lot of different things in our culture that is not necessarily going to be in that book. So when you're doing this public school at home program, remember you have to follow their program, but you can also add. So that's one good thing about it. You don't have to think about what am I going to teach for math, what am I going to teach for science, what am I going to teach for English. All you know is that that's already there. You just as a parent can add to that, and I suggest that you do that. As a matter of fact, like I always say, I like to go to the library sales. Matter of fact, this Saturday in my town, we're having a library sale, and guess what? I will be there. I will be there with my bag and my rolling cart to take my books home because they have all kind of books and things that you can get for your students. And a lot of stuff they throw away, they get rid of, are books that we as black people, we need to have in our library, especially black books that are written by black folks, okay? And even if they're not written by black folks, the whole thing about it is that you can go online, you could get curriculum, you could do whatever you need to do. But my thing is build up your child's library with books. Unschooling is, we're going to talk about different ways. One of the things that the students are doing in school is unschooling and homeschooling. Okay. Homeschooling is basically allowing children to learn through their natural life experiences. And somebody had posted to my Facebook page, and let me see if I can pull it up right now. Okay, it was about two young girls, two sisters. They're preteens, and their parents were unschooling them. And I mean, it's a long article. But I'm going to repost that to the Education of the Miseducated System. I'm going to repost it so it can be at the top so you guys could read it. And it seemed like it was very, very interesting. When I first started hearing about unschooling, I was kind of a little nervous about it because my thing, okay, you're letting the children do what they do, but how are these children going to learn math, reading, and writing, and all of this other stuff that we say that they're supposed to have? I was really scared about it. But when I began reading different things, like I said, it seemed like it's very successful. And I would love to talk to somebody who's actually doing this. So you'll hit me up on my Facebook page, the Education of the Miseducated System, and maybe that's a discussion that we can have from a person who is actually doing it. And so the article that I'm going to post is called The Freedom of Unschooling, Raising Liberated Black Children Without the Restrictions of School. Okay, It's by Akilah Richards, okay? And she has a 9-year-old and 11-year-old daughter. So I'm going to post that up there. So there's a whole movement about unschooling. You let the child learn according to what they're interested in. And then, you know, we have all these different schools. We have the unschooling, we have the state schools, which are government schools, our public schools, and then we have our homeschool, or home education or home-based learning. Parents cite numerous reasons as motivations to homeschool their children, and I gave you three reasons before. I'm going to give you something else. They talk about school environment. They don't want their children in that environment. You know, I noticed that when I was a preschool teacher, we have children come in and little children, you know, they just coming in preschool and head start or whatever they had. And they say, you know, they curse at everybody out, spitting, throwing, hitting and everything. And then the parents, they come home to the parents and hitting the parents because they see what other children are doing to their parents when their parents pick them up. Throwing tantrums and stuff. And the parents say, I don't know where that comes from. Well, it comes from the environment that you allowed your child to be in 8-9 hours a day while you're at work. Okay. Some parents want to homeschool because they want to provide religious or moral instruction. We talked about that. And some students, parents are just dissatisfied with the academic instruction at the private and public schools. Okay. And I'll tell you a little bit about private schools. Every private school is not what it seems to be. Just because it's private school, you think that it's elite and it has all of this great instructions and stuff. A lot of students who are expelled from school, they can't go anywhere else in that school district. They cannot go to any other school. And parents opt out, say, I don't want my child going to a community school. And that's the school where your child goes, and now your education is not actually up to where it needs to be. But they just want to get you through the system, put you in a little prison. That's what it looked like, a little prison to me. Everybody's walking around looking the same, dressing the same, like a little prison. So parents don't want their children go there, so guess what they opt out to? They work it, so they can't homeschool them. So they put them in, what, private school. So some of our private schools have a lot of students in there who have come out of the school system, out of juvenile hall, or they were on their way to a community school because they had been expelled. And a lot of these schools, if the principals are into the tuition or want that money, or the administrators want the money or the board, guess what? That child is going to be in that school. I guess they're feeling like no child left behind also. Okay. So there's a lot of things that we could deal with our educational program. Right now we're dealing with the Common Core. That's a big subject, and I'm hoping that I would have somebody on the show real soon to give me their thoughts and their ideas on Common Core curriculum, and, I mean, see where we go from Bill Clinton giving us the outcome-based education, and then we had No Child Left Behind. Now we have Common Core. Let me see. This 1994, when Goals 2000 came out, 1994, then we had 2004, that's 10 years, 2014, 20 years. So within 20 years, we've changed our standards. This is the third time. Within 20 years, we have changed our standards. So basically, you know, where our children are. And some of our children were caught in the middle of these changes. So it's not like our children went to school and then another change. A lot of these our students were caught in the middle of these changes. So now we get this Common Core, and now we're dealing with your intellect, whether you can come up with an answer, critical thinking. I mean, some of our students can't even critically read, but now they want them to critically think about things that they have to read about and come up with an idea when they're not used to doing that. Because our children have not been taught how to think. They've been taught what to think. So those are some of the things that I wanted to talk to. I'm glad that you guys were listening to me today for the education of the miseducated system. I do want to remind you that you are your child's first teacher. And once you place your child in the public school, that first day of school in kindergarten, it becomes a guessing game. You are your child's first teacher. You know what motivates that child. You know what gets that child moving and up and excited about what they're doing. But when it comes to school, it becomes a guessing game. That teacher does not know your child. So if your child is going to public school, it behooves you to be involved in that school. Like I've always said, it's coming up on the end of the school year, and parents make that parent-teacher conference. I'm not talking about the normal one. I'm talking about making an appointment and tell for the teacher, I want to sit and talk with you so you won't have just 15 minutes and pull and have that you want to look at your child's cumulative folder. You want to look at their academic, you want to look at their behavioral folder, okay? You want to look at all those folders, pull them out, and we could go over and see where your child is. It's your right to see exactly where your child is in school. So make that appointment before school is out. You have just less than a month, maybe just a little bit more than a month to do that. And then you could make an informed decision of whether you're going to continue with the public school system or whether you're going to go with a homeschool system or whether you're going to go with the system that where they're going to give you a package where you could come home, a public school, homeschool program. So it's up to you whatever you want to do. But my main thing is that watch your babies, care for them, be that teacher that you are, because in the end, all you're doing when you send that child to school, what you have done is you say, I am entrusting my child in your care, that you're going to educate my child for these 9 hours a day, and I hope that my child is learning what they need to learn. Okay, don't forget to check out Homeschool Legal Defense Association, HSDLA, .org, and also ACE, diagnostic testing, so if you want to test your child diagnostically to see where they are. So this is Paula Massey signing off with the Education of the Miseducated System. You have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I will see you here next Tuesday. Have a good night.
Dynasty Radio, 1382.